The other day, I was meeting a couple at our church. They were going to have a memorial service in our church building for a loved one who had passed away recently. When they got out of their car and still at a distance, they were in the parking lot and I was up by the front door, they lifted up a mask and asked, "Hey, do you wish us to wear these here?" I said, "No, no, no, it's totally fine without it. Thank you." They threw them in the car, seemed a little bit relieved, and walked up. We greeted each other, talked, and walked together and figured everything out, and everyone was good, and everything turned out fine in the service. That got me to thinking how different it was from what we hear a lot of or even have been attacked about by even other believers, whether you wear a mask or not, especially as an act of love. Like Beth Moore. Yep, she's at it again. Here we go, and this is what she says. And this was on August 10th, and I'm quoting from her on her tweet here, and you can see it on the screen. "If we are in Christ, it is unconscionable for us to in any way politicize this virus. What on earth are we doing? Our sides are not more important than lives. We are Jesus' people called to serve sacrificially. For the love of God, we gotta love our neighbors, even our enemies. For all our Jesus talk, where on the ever-loving earth is our Jesus walk? If you are not a Christian, I'm not talking to you, but if you are, Jesus wasn't playing when he called us to a whole different ethic from the world. We're not loudmouth boasters. We're servants. We serve. Stare in the face of what some of you are saying. My rights are more important than your life. Sorry, not sorry. If you're not going to get vaccinated, for the love of God, put on a mask in public places with vulnerable people. Go ahead and unfollow me. I don't care. Follow Jesus." So contrasting that with the way this couple approached me the other day, here's the question. Is wearing a mask an act of Christian love? Well, let's see what's the unbound truth of God about it. Let's go. This is Truth Unbound, and I'm your host, Walter Swaim, and I'm so glad you've joined me as we consider God's voice as first and foremost in all things in daily life. But first, two things real quick. First of all, my new book is available online. It's called To Be Clear, Proclaiming the Gospel in a Post-Truth World. Now, in it, you'll understand why all the insanity in our culture and even the church is happening, what's behind it, what's motivating it, and what to do about it as a believer. Secondly, to know more and get the latest from Truth Unbound, click subscribe and all notifications, then click like, comment, and share it with everyone you can so they can join in the Truth Unbound network as well. I'm so grateful for you doing it. Now, let's dive into today's topic. So one thing you hear a lot amongst believers is that wearing a mask during COVID times is the Christian thing to do. Or better, it's an act of selfless love for your neighbor. Christ-like love for them. Well, first, a big disclaimer here before we go any deeper. If you're expecting a medically slanted opinion on whether masks work or not, this video is not it. You're not going to see that. If you're expecting a debate on masks being morally right or wrong, this video is not that either. But what we are discussing here briefly is this. It's the specific question, is wearing a mask an act of Christian love? Often, I myself have been told this several times in the last year and a half, is that to truly show Christian love, you must wear a mask, mandate or not. It means you're truly loving others selflessly, sacrificing your own comfort so the life of others around you is protected. Now, this sounds good on the surface, and the meaning as well. It's well-intentioned, but the clear implication or direct inference is that if you are not wearing a mask, then you are either A, not a loving Christian, or B, you're not truly a Christian at all. Some have even called this a justice issue. Whoa there, big buddy, hold on. Let's see what God's Word really says about this first. Now, I think we can all agree at the start that the Bible says nothing directly about wearing a mask. Not in the style of verses like, "You shall not lie," or "You shall love the Lord your God," which is pretty clear commanding. Pretty doggone clear, in fact. But there are no direct words in the Bible that say, "You shall wear a mask, you shall not wear a mask." That's pretty plain, and I don't know anyone who would argue against that. Okay, good. Got it. But it seems to make sense on the surface. Just show the love of Jesus and wear your mask, and that overrides any concerns about any personal freedoms in Christ or even by earthly law. Done. Period. Just wear the dumb mask. Now, the believers in the church at Corinth were seriously dividing over what can be called a gray issue. In other words, it's not black and white. There's no direct commands from God on a daily issue. So kind of in the gray middle is where it lands. And both believers on either side of the issues wanted to love and honor God, but they firmly and vehemently disagreed over this one issue. And the disagreement basically was this. You see, the church was made up of a lot of Gentiles and some Jewish Christians who had turned to Christ, and many turned to follow Christ from lives involved in lots of pagan mystery religions and cults where sexually immoral acts were committed regularly. The pagan worshipers would offer food to these false gods and to the idols representing them in the temples. And one of those food items was meat. Once the cult services were done and over with, this meat would be sold on the open market afterwards, and often best quality meat, but at cheaper prices. To make a story shorter, some of the believers felt they were free in their minds and hearts to buy and eat that meat in their homes. Why? Because they now know those gods were fake. The whole thing was fake. It means nothing, and meat is meat. We're born to eat. So they brought it, they bought it, and brought it home, and they ate it, and in the company of other believers. So imagine that the possible scenario, or more likely scenario, is this, that some newer believers would be invited to these other believers' home for a meal or at the potluck dinners the churches often had after observing the Lord's Supper together. And sometimes believers would be invited to the home of an unsafe person as well. But in either case, they served the meat offered to idols. Now, in the case of the stronger Christian and the weaker Christian scenario, the less mature or less stronger in their faith were offended because to them, that meat had been offered to false and evil gods and evil practices of worship. And they felt that they were dishonoring to God to buy and eat something that had been offered to demon gods. They felt it honored Jesus more by separating from consuming it at all. The stronger believers, though, were digging in their heels on the argument to eat the meat because they felt that their offended brothers and sisters in Christ were wrong about it. And, well, you can imagine easily what a mess it created in the church. Also, some in the Roman church were Jewish believers, and they were struggling to eat a diet outside the restrictions of their former obedience to dietary laws in the law of Moses, as well as still keeping the feasts and Sabbath days, etc. Those they were trying to stay in line with Jewish law. It was hard for them to pull away from it so quickly after becoming believers in Christ. Well, you can imagine this was a big problem, and we see it in the scriptures. So Paul addressed it by the Holy Spirit's guidance and inspiration on what they should do about it. Look here in Romans chapter 14. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord, and he who does not observe the day, to the Lord he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he who does not eat, to the Lord he does not eat, and gives God thanks. He continues, I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. Later in 1 Corinthians, Paul said this in chapters 10 and 11, Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense, either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God. Just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ. And then he says this as well, Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. It is good neither to eat meat, nor drink wine, nor do anything by which your brother stumbles, or is offended, or is made weak. And so, boiling this down to two main points, this is what God's instructions to them and to us about those things in the gray middle. Number one, be convinced in your own mind as to what you do believe, or more so, make sure your thinking is biblical and in faith, and not just what you think God says is right, or someone just kind of shortly says what God may be saying there. Understand what is truly being said, and make up your mind, and stick to it. Secondly, don't intentionally provoke, and therefore offend, or weaken, or make to stumble in their faith, your brother or sister in the faith, that is struggling with this issue in and of itself in the first place. You see, in the gray areas, he says, show love to each other and prefer the other with your actions. So jump to today and see how some use this verse to say, see, you're showing love to others by wearing your mask. So just wear the mask and you'll love them selflessly, even overriding your own discomfort. But there are some big problems with this almost oversimplification of what God is saying. We already get it, that those believers who believe that wearing a mask is laying down their own comfort to love others, believing masks do protect them and you and me from getting COVID from them. We get it, and that's good. We understand it. But what if a fellow believer who is living to glorify and love God in everything just as much as the mask-wearing believer has seen the same information but has drawn an opposite conclusion that masks aren't working against the virus, and is fully convinced in their own mind what they believe and that God has given them the freedom to believe it, and they decide to not wear a mask nor agree with any imposition to do so. They believe that it would be perpetuating a lie to themselves and you to wear a mask. They know God commands not to lie or believe a lie and pass it on to others. Or they believe as well that they should not put a mask on their own children out of love for them, believing it harms their mental and physical health in ways more than it prevents COVID infection. And in so doing, they have no problem with you either, wearing a mask, and make no resistance openly or privately with you about you wearing one in their presence, because they love you selflessly and do not want to infringe on your freedom to wear a mask. So the question is this: is it not showing the same selfless love of Jesus to give them the space and freedom to make their own health decision and not wear a mask, or not having their children wear a mask? Is it not showing the same selfless Christian love and allowing others to wear a mask, they and their family? You see, the problem Paul had with believers on either side of the meat and even the honoring the holy day issues was not eating or eating the meat. It was the arrogance and pride of either one to think they were better than the other because they believed in practice what their mind had made up in the gray areas. And so today, believers on either side are fully convinced in their own minds to wear a mask or not to wear one, or to have their families wear them or not wear them. But many on either side, in pride and arrogance, are blogging, speaking, preaching, or even screaming at each other at times that the other is wrong, and basically accusing the other of not being a true, loving Christian, while saying you should love Jesus and your brother by wearing a mask or not wearing a mask. It's insanity, and it's dividing the churches. And so the whole issue repeats itself, and God's word speaks into it. And so here are God's guidelines, basically and simply, from 1 Corinthians and Romans. Number one, be fully informed and form your belief in the gray area as to what you feel God wants you to do, and be consistent about it and learning more about it and put it into practice in your daily life. Secondly, love your brother and sister in Christ selflessly by allowing them the freedom to believe and practice it the way they feel gives glory to God, even if it doesn't fit your belief about it. And don't point fingers or accuse the other of wrongdoing when there's no specific command of God about it. Not practicing either or both of these biblical principles leaves you open and leaves me open to arrogance and pride, and turning us into Pharisees and legalists, causing division and harming the unity of the local church and the testimony of the gospel in the community. And another little bonus here is that what we notice is there's no instruction for the pastoral leadership to force a requirement for all to conform to in order to be able to worship together. That's an interesting point, but I digress. What a different and refreshing world this would be for the believers to practice this with each other and to set an example of the truly selfless love of Christ before the world and each other. Jesus did not say, "They will know you are my disciples because you wear a mask or don't." Nope. He said, "They will know you are my disciples when you love each other as I have loved you." So the next time someone may strongly say to you, "Hey, be a truly loving Christian by wearing your mask," or "Be a truly loving Christian and take your dumb mask off," just say, "Look, I allow you the freedom to wear or not wear your mask. That's how I'm loving you like Jesus," and walk away. Or ask each other first before getting together at an event, maybe, if you know each other, what you plan to do. I don't know. If you love each other in Jesus, you'll figure it out in your context and honor God and be a testimony of Jesus to others at the same time. You see, in many ways, instead of imitating Christ, we're imitating the world and the division they're causing over the issue. Our nation and many of our communities have political leaders also who live to exceed their delegated authority from the people and beyond their biblical duty by forcing people to do things that are neither physically, emotionally, or spiritually wise or good. What a difference it would make for believers to show what 1 Corinthians and Romans truly teaches, that even though we may disagree in these gray area issues, we will still love and respect each other and work together, not demanding one to do what the other wants, just like the world does. This is not an exhaustive study, I know, but I hope it helps. I hope it helps us to see what those passages truly teach us to live like. To live to God's glory and one another's benefit in the body of Christ, tolerating and allowing each other the freedom to do so in the gray area issues. And not to do what just is so accepted or said to be accepted as what God says. Check it out yourself. Look into God's Word. Compare it to the situation. And do what you are fully convinced in your mind He wants you to do either way. And love the other believers who don't agree with you. And work together for the sake of the gospel. Thanks so much for joining me today. And don't forget to subscribe and hit all notifications. Hit like, follow, comment, and share this podcast with everyone you can today. And let's keep following Jesus. When we each follow Him, we'll surely follow the truth.